Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Three Beards Soccer Podcast, Match Week 2. I am Tom Miller. I'm here with Ken Lee. How are we doing today, Ken?
Could be better.
Could be better. And behind the glass, returning, Tyler Alfeld. How are we doing, Tyler?
Couldn't be better, would be the way that I would phrase this. Return of Chelsea, of myself, just ecstatic. Tom, ecstatic.
An 1,100-day vacation.
That's my big sigh for that. After skipping last week, when I'm sure Ken and I would have grilled you, you decide to come back in when your Chelsea does a little bit better. But we'll get around to it. We'll start with Match Week 2, the Manchester United-Swansea game at Swansea. Ken, this was a blowout 4-0, although it didn't really turn out that way until about the 80th minute. It was only 1-0, but United scored 4 goals in back-to-back games and so far have allowed 0. What do you think about that?
I think that I'm not a Man United fan. So all I can do is kind of cringe every single time I see them score 4 goals against a team and allow exactly none. I do think what Man United fans and the rest of the league do need to take into account for is that they've played West Ham, who, to our points in the couple of episodes ago, at least I was pretty excited about West Ham. They've been an utter disappointment. And now Swansea, who has all but played their cards, selling the only player they really had in Sigurdsson to Everton, they've shown their cards that they don't mind being at the wrong end of the table come May. So they have played two clubs that, you know, West Ham had a lot coming into it. They've got a lot to do. And Swansea, who is probably, you know, like I just said, not going to be anywhere at the end of the season. I think we just need to hold any kind of like big time praise until they get up across, you know, one of the top tier clubs in the league.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And Jose Mourinho said pretty much the same thing. He said in the news that he, you know, the team last year started 3-0 and with 9 points on the board in 3 matches, and they ended in 6th. So he said, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. That being said, the thing that I want to take away from the first two matches, besides 4-0, which is fantastic. I mean, it can't be happier with the start, but there's 36 more games, Ken, and they're going to be most likely against better competition than we played so far. So the idea is that United are dangerous on set pieces again, and that is absolutely huge. They hit the crossbar in the 10th minute with Phil Jones. They hit the crossbar again with Pogba in the 43rd minute on a corner kick, and it was Bailly that kind of knocked it in. It was actually a really nice save. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Nice save.
No one's arguing that. Even when it was 0-0, Swansea never looked like they were in it. I mean, it was always going to be a Man U win. Always. It was just by a matter of how many goals. Just like the West Ham game, honestly. I mean, West Ham never had a chance either. It's just one of those things where, like, Mao says the team's playing. He can only find one word, and this post-match press conference was confidence. They're playing with a crazy confidence. Also, a crazy, like, comfort level that they have. It's like they've all been playing together forever when the core of the club have not played together forever. This is actually their first season playing together. It's kind of weird how quickly, you know, Matic, Pogba, and Lukaku have kind of, you know, grown together as one complete unit to where that's the scary part of Man United right now. But again, I want to see him play a higher tier team in the league. And then we can see, you go out and beat a Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, City 4-0. All right, fine. We can start calling for the league, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I think it's way too early. You saw all these teams get off the flyers last year. Manchester City, for instance, Man United, they got off the flyers, and everybody, even Hull City, Ken, was 2-0 last year. Yeah. And everybody goes to anoint them. And I'm not ready to do that yet, although I will say that I'm really happy with the way the team's playing. I mean, it's really easy to say. There's a lot of flow to it. Lukaku really didn't do much, but a lot of great forwards do that, and then they score a goal anyways. which I thought was really reassuring to see him get himself open the box. He was wide open.
Too open.
And, yeah, and Mkhitaryan, I thought actually Mkhitaryan has played, he hasn't really played that well playing underneath Lukaku. I feel like he loses the ball a lot, but at the same time, he has 4 assists, Ken, in the league already, so I can't really hate on the guy. The guy's putting forward results. It's just, to me, it seems like he's the one who isn't clicking on all cylinders when, I mean, he's getting the killer balls in, so I really can't complain. That's the only thing I would say about that besides I really like Pogba's goal, the little baby chip. I'm a big fan of the baby chip.
That was a really nice goal.
And the team, like you said, they look really confident. They're attacking all cylinders.
That was Matt's words. Don't give me credit for the confidence.
Well, either way, I know that you feel like the team's playing with confidence, and you go into the next week, just like with anything else. I mean, you say it, we played Swansea, but at the same time, you can lose to Swansea. You can lose to a lot of teams in this league, especially
in your
way. Well,
of course you can lose to Swansea. You can, yes. It's just, you know, if you're going to open up the season and, you know, you're going against, you know, what turned out to be a dud of West Ham, and then your second game is Swansea, don't get much better than that. I mean, unless they're going to give you the three newly promoted clubs week 1, 2, and 3. I mean, they've got, you know, a pretty nice opening set to the season.
Yeah, we have Leicester at home next week.
Yeah, that'll be a little bit more of a test.
A little bit more of a test for sure. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that, especially with, you know, Mao hasn't rotated at all. Mourinho hasn't rotated any of the players. It was the exact same lineup. And all of a sudden, Ander Herrera isn't playing. He got replaced pretty fast, Ken. If I'm him, I mean, he's coming off injury, but at the same time, there's 3 games in the season, and, you know, Martial comes off the bench twice in the last 10 minutes, the last 2 games, and scores.
Well, he's Rashford, good. Yeah.
Yeah, Rashford looks lively, but hasn't scored. And I had a friend text me and ask me if I thought that that meant that Martial would start one of these games over Rashford. And I was like, well, United's going to play a lot of games this year. So
I'm sure they'll get a game or two. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get their games. Everybody's going to get their games. I think we have the right amount of depth that we will actually be dangerous in the Champions League. I don't think it's time yet to talk about getting into semifinals, but get through the group stages, maybe get through some of the knockout stages. I don't think we're ready to play with Juve and Bayern and the usuals at the top there. I mean, but who knows what Barcelona is going to do? We're not going to play with Real Madrid yet. It's nice to see, but I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. I'm pretty happy with the start. We'll take two and oh.
Exactly. Yeah. I would too.
Moving on to the 0-2 team, West Ham United played Southampton at Southampton, and Ken, this game ended 3-2, but it started out with a flyer on the behalf of Southampton. They went up right away, and then they had a little incident.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird game to be watching again. You know, it started out Southampton. Just like West Ham started, just like they did the first game, off the pace, off the mark is what it looks like to me. So you know, it's going. You know, regular. Then Arnautovic, he gets elbowed in the face right in front of the referee. You know, in all fairness to Arnautovic, he feels like he's been hard done without a call. So a couple minutes later, he's running down the field. He loses the ball or whatever. I think he missed a shot or something happened.
Yeah.
He's running up to the guy with the ball and he just throws an elbow. It's not even, mind you, the guy who threw the elbow at him in the first place. So he's just lost his head. It's absolutely
33rd minute.
It's absolutely unacceptable. It's 33rd minute of the first half. Now you leave your club with all of it to do. And you're in the locker room. You kick a bag at your whatever the guy is on the club that walks, the guy that gets the red card off the field. I don't know who that guy is, but I don't know if you saw that, but he kicked this bag right in the back of this guy's leg. And he turned around, like pretty much like looking at him like, what's your problem? You're the one that kicked off, not me.
I did hear he apologized after the game, according to Bilic, the manager. And keep in mind, this is a guy who just signed for them, their record signing. He was about £25 million. He was supposed to be a part of the brand new offense. And the funny part is, once he left the field, Ken, West Ham got back in this game. They were down 2-0 after 38 minutes because Tadic scored right after the red card.
Yep.
and it was 2-2. In the 74th minute, Chicharito scores twice on rebounds within 6 yards of the net.
Exactly what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
As usual.
Cleans up the mess, eating up the leftovers, and that's why they brought him in. And that's where the red card comes to mean so much, Arnautovic. Like, you need to really be thinking about your actions before you do them, and you act on them. If it's not for your red card, it's arguably, you know, you don't have to play such crazy defense and make such outlandish tackles in the box, because let's not forget that Southampton won this game because 2 PKs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the late PK in the 93rd minute.
Yeah, 90 plus 3. Yeah, and that is a tackle off of
what's the guy's name?
What's the guy they brought for Man City in? Like, Zabaleta. So you've got Arnautovic, gets a red card. Zabaleta fouls in the box from behind, blatant penalty. I mean, he's caught
terrible
off the ball.
Yeah, look to me like I think Zabaleta might be done, man. He got really cooked in the United game. I mean, it was Rashford, so I gave him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but he looked cooked in this game too. I think City got rid of him at the right time because he did not look good in this match.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you would
he
think
cost
that
them the game.
Yeah. Again, I would not say that anyone cost this game for West Ham more than Arnautovic. It's hard to play 60 minutes.
It's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, but in the 93rd minute to give up a penalty when there's only 4 minutes of extra time, you had to, like, get another 30 seconds to hang on and not commit a foul there. It was surprising to me that West Ham actually had 16 shots on goal, 8 on target, and they only had 34% of possession, and that's something that we're seeing more and more of, is like teams without possession are still having effective attacks. Like, that's a pretty good score line for them, stat line for them.
Clutch 16 front of the goal. I mean, you'll win games that way. It's just unfortunate, you know. I'm going to keep going back to it. The Arnautovic red card costs West Ham this game.
Yeah, anytime you're a 10 man.
And then Bilic, I don't know, did you watch his post-match?
I read him. I didn't watch it, though.
Dude, this guy gets on a microphone and says that he's happy with the character of the team. And then he wouldn't comment on Arnautovic's red card. He said that that's for someone else to do. Well, who is it? Who's supposed to comment to him? The owner? His wife? His girlfriend? I don't know. Like, that is your job.
Yeah, I think that's just deflection.
It is deflection. It's deflection.
It's deflection.
But you can't go and say that after you just said, I'm happy with the team's character. Arnautovic is part of the team. You can't be happy with a character of a person who gets his feelings hurt and gets inside of his emotions because he didn't get a call go his way and then just elbow some random player on the other team.
That was a terrible red card. We've seen some terrible red cards this year, man. I swear, maybe it's just because we're paying closer attention to more games, but I feel like there's been worse red cards this year than ever. Like the Chelsea red cards, the Jonjo Shelvey red card, and then
this one,
Arnautovic's red card.
And then later time, another game. We'll move on when we talk about it, but there was a ridiculous red card in the West Brom game. Yeah. I mean, it's just these guys are just losing their minds. They're not playing with – their heads aren't turned on tight for whatever reason. Maybe it's just too early in the season. Everyone's emotions are high, flying high, but I don't know, man. It's just some unacceptable stuff that's going on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we can move on to that West Brom game. West Brom wins 1-0 over Burnley. I know you had some comments you were making before we even started the pod about Robson Kanu. I mean, the game on paper, Ken, looks like Burnley won the match. We're seeing so much of this. It's 20 shots on goal, 0 on target, however, and 68% possession.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were destroying West Brom. And then I don't know the time that Robson Kanu came on, but it wasn't long after that. I mean, he changed the complete pace of the game. He didn't change the way that they were holding onto the ball because he's just one guy on West Brom, but he did change the way that West Brom played, and he had a different outlet for West Brom to go to. He makes this ridiculous run down the field with the ball. He beats 2 or 3 defenders. It's probably 3 that he beat. One of them is trying to actually pull him down the box, holds on with ridiculous balance, and then just pokes this ball right by the goalie. But then a couple of minutes later, he jumps up for a head ball, and when he misses the ball, he just throws his elbow into the guy's face.
Yeah, that
completely
was terrible.
On purpose. Red card. I mean, referee comes over there, straight red card. Right decision. See you in a couple of days, mate. Join the rest of the guys that cannot stay on the pitch and keep their emotions in check. The first 2 weeks of this season, there's been a heinous fouls. There's no room for it in the league, honestly, and I'm glad these referees are not missing it for the most part and getting these guys off the pitch and just, you know, rethink what you've done here. Come back in three games, please, because this is a straight red.
Yeah, Kanu was sent on in about the 60th minute and scored in the 71st and was sent off in the 83rd. So I don't know if he had something else to do after the game or what it was, but it didn't seem like he just wanted to score and kind of drop the mic. And I guess that's how you do it, is to score and then get a straight red card.
Guess so.
Yeah. So moving on to games that didn't have any straight red cards. Leicester City takes out Brighton 2-0.
Yep.
Mahrez was brilliant in this one, Ken. I don't know if you watched it, but Mahrez was brilliant. Okazaki scored real early for them. It's nice to see. It's hard not to root for Leicester as a neutral in these games because of their famous title run, and you just kind of have a soft spot for them. But they definitely beat Brighton pretty badly here.
It was comfortable.
They were at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a comfortable win for them. Maguire scores in the 54th minute, and Leicester City goes into Old Trafford next week with a little bit of positive momentum after a tough first loss.
Yeah, I mean, Mahrez, again, playing great for the club that he's contracted to play with, but he's almost like he's making a ploy that says, hey, man, there are a couple clubs that have, you know, publicly come out and said they want to come after me. Can you just meet the price that Leicester wants?
Like, yeah. Roma being
this is how I play. Like, I'm playing for a club that really, I've already come out and said I don't even, I'm not against playing for him, but I'd rather move on.
It's understandable, too. I mean, he was a big part of that run. He actually signed a contract before last year, so he doesn't have a ton of leverage, kind of like Coutinho, although Coutinho has even less leverage. For these guys, they can do holdouts if they want to, but yeah, they sign five-year contracts. Like, you don't have any leverage if you sign a five-year contract, because you can sit on the bench, but you're going to sit on the bench for the next 4 years? I don't think so. I think Mahrez, everybody's, seriously, everybody's applauding. Yeah, everybody's applauding him for his work ethic and how he's playing. I agree with that completely. It's nice to see him on the field. No fake injuries here. Not to take a shot at Sanchez, because I believe a lot of times if the player is worth enough, these teams will sit them down and be like, hey, you know, I don't want to give up £100 million on Mbappe. Like, Monaco is not playing Mbappe right now because of all the conjecture that's going around him. They don't want to risk an injury and then possibly risk that player being worth £0 come transfer deadline time. So it's both things, but Mahrez played well and Leicester got the win.
All right. Well, to talk about that point, to me, make a decision, whether it be the club or the player. And to me, when there's a contract involved, the club has all the decision-making power. Say to Sanchez, you're not leaving this season. Get up and play so you're still wanted next season. The same thing with Monaco and Mbappe. We've already said, we're not selling you. Stay around here, get better. I don't care if you get injured or not, because you're still going to be a player. We're not even trying to sell you. Make up your mind. You can't say we're not selling them, but then when the season starts, not play these guys because we're holding out for a bunch of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of negotiations that are going on there. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, too. And then you don't know, behind the scenes, you don't know if Sanchez is the one who's saying, I'm not playing for you right now. We don't know if that's happening, or if Arsenal is saying, we're holding, we're going to have you sit out. I believe it's probably more likely that Sanchez doesn't want to play right now. But it's looking more and more likely that they are going to be able to hang on to him, not to jump too far off the Leicester game and Mahrez, but this is a different transfer season than we've seen before, because all these Premier League teams, they have buying power, they have financial stability, and they don't need to sell. So you're having guys like Van Dijk, the Southampton center back. Liverpool tried to basically force him out of Southampton, which has been an effective tactic in the past. You see it a lot from Barcelona.
Yeah.
Basically, they announce their intentions, and the player gets really upset, goes to the team and says, hey, I want these guys to buy me. We got to set a price here. And you had that with Coutinho. Barcelona is trying to do that with Coutinho, where they're trying to kind of edge him out of Liverpool. And Liverpool's like, You can offer us 100, but we'd like to do something in the Champions League this year. We'd like to have this guy on our team, and we don't need to sell him, so we're not going to. It's a different transfer window than we've seen.
No, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Completely. So we'll see.
So moving, yeah, we'll move on to the Liverpool game, since we're talking about Coutinho. Liverpool, I thought they dominated this match. It was 1-0 over Crystal Palace, and they had 23 shots, Ken. I felt like they dominated it. The 1-0 scoreline really didn't do it justice.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, start from the beginning of the game here. I mean, it was all Liverpool all the time from beginning to end. Crystal Palace never looked into it. At minus, in the 55th minute, Benteke did have, you know, albeit it was not the greatest pass put into him, but it was at his feet on the six, and he blasted it right over the goal. You got to put that
crush that ball over.
You got to put that away.
Yeah, that was terrible.
So, you know, pass to me. The announcers were even saying it. Oh, the guy, he passed it to him. He bounced it into him. Who cares? It's actually harder for you to miss than it is to make that shot.
That's one of my favorite comments when commentators say that, when they say it would have been easier to make that than to miss it. Those are always my favorite. I think Fernando Torres had some of those late when he was in his Chelsea career, where he would just beat all the defenders and be one-on-one with the keeper.
Yeah, and miss.
And he would just miss.
Yeah, like you have to try harder to miss than to make it. And Benteke, I think he just got too excited about scoring on his old club and just got embarrassed in front of his old club.
Yeah, he has a good scoring record against them too. So it's disappointing to see just from a neutral standpoint, or slightly less than neutral standpoint. But I thought, Ken, I think Mane has been unbelievable, and he's really emerged from Liverpool in the last season since he signed. He was an excellent signing, and he's really emerged as maybe their primary threat behind Coutinho, and maybe more of a threat.
Well, yeah, I mean, during the game they were talking about, like, if Coutinho does leave, Mane would be, you know, a simple slide-in replacement for him. You just need to get some depth. Mane's great. I mean, they've made a couple of other good signings that allow Mane to be a little bit more free to be able to do what he did today, which was score that really nice goal. Put him up 1-0. I mean, but, you know, going back to it, beginning, the middle, the end, like, it never looked like Crystal Palace wanted to win this game. They were hoping for a draw, it looked like. I think a lot of teams are doing that right now that are, you know, don't think they have a chance to win it. I mean, you go into, like, after around the 70th minute when they went up 1-0 from that Mane goal, I mean, in the 80th minute and even into the stoppage time, it could have been 2-3-0 Liverpool, minus, you know, some crazy stops from the keeper of Crystal Palace. So, you know, the score is what it is at that point, but 1-0's a W, the same as 3-0's a W, but it could have been a lot worse for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and Klopp laughed off, you know, people saying, well, 1-0 is a bit of a struggle, and it was an important win for Liverpool. I think it was important based on last week's tough draw to Watford, which was a bad way to lose 2 points, you know, taking one instead of three, and then in the late going, especially with their defense. And they kept the clean sheet, especially after going into Hoffenheim this week. Earlier on Tuesday, playing Hoffenheim, that's a tough game going to Germany. Hoffenheim finished in fourth, and they probably honestly should have lost that game. But the fact that they didn't just shows that maybe they're getting their European swag back. You know, like they're starting to get back into this mode where it's like, we are Liverpool. We belong here. We've been away for a little bit, but we're coming back strong and we're back in the running for one of these dangerous teams. Because honestly, they really haven't had too many good seasons before last season, and finishing fourth, they kind of snuck into fourth. There was, you know, Arsenal was trailing them real tight till the very end, and a 2-1 win, especially when there's an early penalty kick called, which, did you see that penalty kick, the Hoffenheim penalty kick? It was like the worst penalty kick I've ever seen.
Didn't see the game.
Oh man. I think that's another thing that I'm noticing more of as we watch more matches. Whatever happened to just kicking the ball into the net for penalty kicks? Why do we have to stop and start?
You gotta stop and start. You gotta swing your right foot behind your left leg, and
yeah,
you gotta chip
Why
it in.
Why are we doing that? I am I supposed to blame Zidane in like 2010 when he did the chip and it hit the crossbar in the final and scored? Should I blame him? Like, why are we trying to get so tricky with our penalty kicks? I think that was one of the things about Wayne Rooney that I really liked, is if Wayne Rooney is going to miss a penalty kick, it's going to go 50 yards over the net because he hit it so hard. Like, I'm tired of these crappy penalty kicks, man. This guy, seriously, people keep taking bad penalty kicks, and even the ones that are scoring, they look like they have, like, they don't have any confidence taking them. Like, take your penalty kick like you mean it.
Maybe you should get out there and start training these guys, Tom.
I don't know, man. The last time I was in, I was training penalty kicks. I'm sure that I told everybody to shoot the ball instead of just trying all kinds of tricks, trying to get the goalie to dive the wrong way. I mean, if I'm a goalie these days, I don't have to guess anymore. I actually wait and make sure that they're not going to do anything clowny, like try to chip me or try a toe poke or something like that. Because you have just as much of, you have just as many, just as likely to stop one as that's there to score, which is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about 80%. So, I'm tired of these crappy penalty kicks, Ken. That's all I'm saying about it. But a good win for Liverpool. Two wins in the week. They do have the return leg of that European playoff. They're up 2-1. They have two away goals. So, that we should see them march in. I know you said that it's not a big deal, but it ended up being a tougher draw for them, and it is a big deal to Liverpool. Imagine what a big deal it would be if they didn't win this game. They don't win the Hoffenheim game, and they're out of Europe. They end up in Europa.
Sure. I mean, in that case, yeah, it's a bigger deal, but I mean, because they came out 2-1, two away goals, they have to theoretically lose 2-0 to at home to reverse that. So I don't know. Just get into the group.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be all right, but a good win for them. Moving on from that game, we have the Watford-Bournemouth game. At Bournemouth, and Watford picked up a 2-0 win. Any talking points you want to go over with that game?
I watched the highlights of that game. Did you see any highlights from it?
I saw the parts of the game, and it looked to me like Watford actually kind of had this game in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch the whole of the game. I only saw the highlights, and I only saw, you know, the goals, because that's what the highlights were. The Kapuwe volley, I don't think he's getting as much credit as he deserves for that. I mean, it was two headers. The ball was spinning in an odd direction. He had a lot of work to do to control that ball, get it down to his foot, and then absolutely rip it to the bottom side netting from about 20, 22 yards out, it looked like. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I think that when you see goals like that, and we have been seeing a lot of good goals, and Watford actually scored some nice goals against Liverpool last week, too. You're seeing lower teams, like they finished in 17th place last year, that have the quality like that on their squads. And it just goes back to this narrative that we pounded in the ground so much, maybe ad nauseum, which is that the Premier League has a ton of good teams in it, and they have the quality. Those kind of players, if Watford plays Manchester United and they score one of those goals and then they defend for 90 minutes, they can win 1-0, Ken.
Yeah. No, definitely.
That's what makes it so hard.
I think
hard,
that's what, I mean, a lot of what the game plan is for a lot of these lower mid to relegation bound squads. You know, you go out there and you try to hit a team on the counter, and then you just pack it in for however many minutes are left. And if you can score, you can score. Good on you for it. And a lot of the teams are good enough to do that. So that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, and a perfect example, Ken, of a team just smashing a goal and then defending would be Stoke City versus Arsenal.
Oh, if you see the it last that way. Game, then, yeah.
The last game on Saturday, Stoke City at the Britannia. What are they calling it now? The Bet365
Stadium. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. It's the Britannia.
Yeah, well, you can bet that you won't get away with two PKs not being called and a goal being disallowed that was completely 100% onside again. You can take that one to the bank, Stoke.
I did see that. That is a Stoke win, though, Ken. We talked about it a little bit.
100% actually, Stoke win. 100%.
we allude to it almost every single week when we talk about playing away. We say, you know, when you go and you play away to Stoke, you're not going to be able to just attack the whole time. They're going to pack it in. They're going to try to grab a goal, or they don't care. They'll take a draw. And in this match, I agree with you. I'm not an Arsenal fan, but at least one of those penalties should have been called. And the Lacazette goal, which is a nice goal, that was disallowed. They tried saying afterwards that his toe was offsides.
It's not,
like they really
it's
slowed it down.
Not,
it doesn't matter though.
It's absolutely not offside. Well, from beginning to end, Arsenal ran the game. In the 20th minute, there's a definite clip on Bellerin. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's a clip.
Yeah.
That's a penalty because he's going toward the goal with the ball right in front of him. The ball was not going out of bounds. He had a perfect chance to get the ball. He had control of the ball. He flicked it around the defender. Defender that lost clipped him because Bellerin's really fast. Fine. We miss on that one. No call. Okay. Only the 20th minute. Then Hesse. Is that how you say his name? Hesse?
It is.
He's right at the end. We go into halftime 0-0. Second half starts. This is what happens though when you go away to these clubs. One defensive mistake that starts from the midfield, as most Arsenal mistakes do start. We lose the ball in midfield. We have way too many players committed because of the three defensive style that we're playing, which is fine. I happen to like that style, but it does leave us exposed by having way too many players attacking. Now you've got Hesse makes a pass, continues making the run. The pass comes back to him. He slots it right past. Check. 1-0. Okay. We got caught on that. Then later on in the match, 67th minute, Is it Sissoko? He puts his knee directly into the back of the thigh of Danny Welbeck in the box. That, Mr. Referee, is a penalty. And that, Mr. Referee, is the second penalty that you've missed today. And then, to make matters worse, now we're allowing the sideline referee to get involved and ruin a match by disallowing a goal in open play that puts it at 1-1, plus the two PKs that were missed. Easily, just as easily as we lost 1-0, we could be heading back to Arsenal with a clear, concise, comfortable 3-1 victory. But I make the argument, it's very difficult, 1, to play away, 2, play away to Stoke, 3, play away to Stoke, and then have to play the referees too.
Yeah, I think that the most important note of this game is that while any one of those three mistakes could have been made by the referee, I think in most cases, once you've already seen a marginal penalty called off, in most cases, Ken, when a second marginal penalty comes up, the ref always errs towards the team that he's already disallowed the
penalty. I will give you
for
the fact that the PK call happens on Bellerin, marginal. The PK call miss on Danny Welbeck, where there's not one but two players that rip him down in the box. You've got to be blind. You forgot to put your contacts in. You forgot to. It's a definite PK.
You sound like my dad when I was playing 11-12, like just screaming about the contacts and stuff like that.
It's not just contact. It's actual blatant. You got beat by Danny Welbeck and you put your knee in the back of his thigh to stop him. It's not.
Well, I was going to say, my college coach used to say in those situations when the ref would miss it, he would say, "We'll take the foul." And I think that's what Arsene Wenger would be saying in that case. Like, "We'll take the foul there. Like, that's absolutely a foul. There's no advantage. Thank you, ref. We'll take the foul." But yeah, like, two missed penalty calls. That's tough.
I mean,
I still think that Arsenal needs to have the quality when they have 77% possession. And it's not like Stoke didn't have shots. They had 11 shots, and they only had 23% possession. But Arsenal has to be a little more deadly than that.
Only one of those shots, though, Thomas, and you are well.
Yep, I know.
Ever look like it was going in, and that one went in. So you can have 100,000 shots. If you're just shooting to shoot to get a statistic up, then fine. And that's what those 10 of those 11 shots were.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is the same. We started off by saying it was a Stoke win at home, and it was a Stoke win at home. They needed the luck. They got it. Arsenal did not. Of course, Arsenal got a little bit of luck last week, if you want to call it that. 4-3. They sneak out of there. This time they take 1-0. And unfortunately,
well, luck by playing hard and coming back and showing grit is different than luck that's being decided by a referee.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that, but at the same time, Arsenal needs to score more goals than they did.
Of course.
And yes, they were offside, but offsides happen and missed penalty shouts happen too. What else did they do to win this game? I mean, what else, what other chances did they have? You're talking about Stoke away. I mean, Arsenal had everything in this game. They had 77% possession. They need to do more with it, and I think they need to be more deadly and at least take some points from this game. I mean, they'd still put up a zero spot.
We did do enough to take the points away from the game away, and the referee took it away. That was a goal in open play. I wasn't asking for a penalty to be called or a foul to be called. Lacazette turned the ball. Turned and shot the ball directly into the top corner of the net, completely onside. After, you can't do much more than that.
It's a nice finish.
So, nice finish. I mean, offside. We could argue about this for the rest of the day. I'll agree that we do need to do more within that first half where it was still 0-0. We had a lot of the possession. We had a lot of chances. We need to put them away. But when 100% one goal is taken away and arguably three goals have been taken away from you. There's not much you can do. That's an away goal. That's an away game. There was nothing you could have done. You were going to lose that game 1-0 or it was going to be 0-0.
Yeah. Frustrating loss for Arsenal. Who do they play next weekend?
Liverpool.
Arsenal versus Liverpool next week.
Pretty
that
sure.
Sounds like a good one. That is the Sunday game at 11.
Oh, look that up. Is that?
It is. I'm looking at it now. It's at Anfield. That's a nice game right there. We got plenty to talk about
well,
that.
Yeah, now, I mean, after this loss away, we go away to Liverpool. Now we need to go shut up Liverpool because we just got, you know, bamboozled by the referees at Stoke.
You did get bamboozled. You did. Moving on to the next match, Huddersfield takes a 1-0 win over Newcastle. Newcastle
yeah,
can't
day
get their feet on the
here.
Ground.
New day.
This is the Sunday match, the early Sunday match. Huddersfield Town takes a 1-0 win. A beautiful finish.
Oh, my gosh. I was talking
by Mue, I think that's how you say it.
Mue, yeah. The game, to me, I mean, it was boring to watch. It looked like two teams that have just been newly promoted. Didn't know what to do with themselves, where Newcastle they need to do better because they've been here before. So they need to start playing like they've been here before. But
they definitely do.
These two clubs, it was so boring until this perfectly, like if you were to look up what a give and go or a 1-2 is, what Moy and, you know, this is disrespectful, but I don't know the player that was involved with it as well. But that give and go between Moy and the other player and then the perfectly slotted goal is textbook.
Yeah,
it was textbook.
Finish.
It was crazy.
Beautiful goal. Yeah,
it
really
was
great
really
goal.
Crazy.
Newcastle goes down again. Two losses in two. Not the way they wanted to start.
Yeah.
The game was at Huddersfield Town or the John
Doesn't
Smith
matter.
Stadium. And, yeah, I mean, with the relegation battlers, these are big matches, though. They call them six-pointers because you got to make sure that you take points off teams that you can take points off of. And I think Newcastle will see this as three points
and
drop.
Now Huddersfield is going into the third week of fixtures 2-0. I think that even happier than Man U scoring 8 goals in 2 games, the happiest team in the English Premier League right now is Huddersfield.
Absolutely. They take the points early and head towards the 40-point mark, which is what most people agree will keep you out of relegation. If you can get to 40 points on the season, you will not be relegated. And I know Huddersfield's trying to get there. Overall, like you said, from beginning to end, a boring game. But, you know, Huddersfield take the 1-0 win and hopefully roll into next week with a little bit of confidence. Their next week's match will be at home against Southampton, which you know, they could get points there. Southampton's not really getting what they need right now. They got a win this week, but they played poorly last week. So we'll see what happens with that. Then we move into the game of the week so far. We have Everton City on Monday. We're not going to be able to cover that one. Everton City. And Tottenham versus Chelsea at Wembley. Of course, Tyler returned just in time for this one. This game was easily the star of the weekend in terms of hype. Chelsea really needed a win here, Ken.
Didn't disappoint. I thought the game was pretty exciting. I thought it was the most exciting game of the weekend.
Can we hear that again, Ken? Can we just hear you say that one more time?
Well, it's not the fact that, you know, just solely that you're there or that Tottenham's there. I mean, there was a lot of things coming into it. Will Tottenham continue their horrendous form at Wembley? The answer was yes.
Yeah.
Can Chelsea rebound from a horrendous loss of the week prior that you just so happened to be on an 11-day vacation sunbathing away so you didn't kill yourself to the defeat that was week one?
I have to take a little issue with that, Ken, because I think that Chelsea played an extremely strong Tottenham this week. Tottenham played very well. They had a ton of shots on goal. They got in there. Chelsea just outclassed them.
I didn't say that they didn't. I just said that Tottenham traditionally plays very poorly at Wembley, and unfortunately for them, every single home game this season is at Wembley. I'm not taking anything from Chelsea and Tottenham.
What a difference a week makes, and what a difference, you know.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, this guy's like, "Oh, we're gonna finish eighth or ninth."
I'm not doing the podcast. I'm going to Florida. I'm not listening to Ken talk about Murata. I'm going to Florida. No, I watched this game. I was pretty excited about it. And like you said, it didn't disappoint from beginning to end. I thought Tottenham played really well. It was really unfortunate because I thought they played well. And Chelsea just did what they do, man. Yeah. They just well enough snuck to, away with a win.
To lose 2-1, and they didn't score one of those goals. So
yeah, I mean, Chelsea with another free kick goal, Ken. We talked about this last week. They're so dangerous. What a free kick. What a free kick.
That was a beautiful free kick. I was out of my seat.
Top corner, 24th minute, against the run of play, in my opinion, as was
at
most of the game,
point, yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, I would say most of it. I mean, Tottenham did look on the front foot of the whole thing, but you know, it just comes down, and this is where, you know, we've talked previously. Does Tottenham, this is their strongest squad, is it strong enough to win the league? And based off of today, no, because 3 goals were scored, 1 for them, that they didn't score.
Sweet Og, though. That was a sweet Og. That was a great finish from Batshuayi, man.
Didn't it look like
what
he was shooting
it
on his own goal? Like, he got confused for a second.
Really.
He definitely directed that into his goal. It was weird.
Oh, yeah. I've scored a couple Ogs in my life, Ken. One of them I remember because it was in college, and it was in a play day, so it wasn't a competitive match, but it hit my standing foot. I was on the goal line, and all I had to do was clear it off, and I swung and missed, and it hit my standing foot. It was a terrible own goal. I had another own goal in high school when I was playing indoor, and I was playing the ball back. The guy was on a fast break, and I was trying to hit the ball into the net above our goal. And Ken, I smashed it in our top corner. I absolutely obliterated it, and that's what it kind of looked like here. Like Batshuayi is just like, if he's gonna score an own goal, it's not gonna hit his standing leg. It's gonna be a smasher. He absolutely smashed the ball.
If you watch the replay though. Arguably, that was going to be a goal anyway.
Yeah.
Because
Eriksen again.
Eriksen set up, like, did the free, like, kicked the free kick. But who was behind it? Was it Dyer? I think Dyer was behind Batshuayi. And then it would have gone in no matter what. It was too easy. The goalie was out of position.
Yeah. Well, it was a brilliant
ball
backed in.
It's better when Chelsea scores 3 goals and scores 2-1.
Yeah, I know. But Chelsea, I thought they were outplayed, and it was unfortunate. And once again, Ken, something that I've been noticing is that Harry Kane is a brilliant striker, but he doesn't really score goals against the big teams. He crushes small teams.
He hit the post
and that's
from the
fine.
Beginning
that's
today.
How you win. Yeah, that's how you win a lot of points. Most of your games in the season, like 60% of your games are going to be against teams that honestly you should beat. And you should beat handily. And Harry Kane scores against those teams. So I don't have a problem with that, but he looked lively, but still, Ken, you said he hits the post, but he did not score in this game.
Of course. No Tottenham player scored. I mean,
yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah, no, like Dele Alli was a little off the pace. He got a lot of fouls, he drew a lot of fouls. But at the same time, like, it's the same way. Honestly, it reminded me of Harry Kane and Dele Alli playing for England in the Euro a few years ago. I thought they were going to have a really nice tournament, England. They end up getting beat by Iceland, and you're like, well, Dele Alli and Harry Kane score all these goals during the regular season. Why are they not scoring goals for the English national team? And they're missing a little edge right now when it comes to these big matches. Tottenham is, you were talking about Wembley. They have a terrible record at Wembley.
I think either way, I think that's going to be a long season for them. Having to play all their home games there. I mean, and honestly, like, I was watching whatever show comes on after the goals, and those commentators were right. It's not even the atmosphere, because the fans were up for it. It was loud at the stadium. Like, you could hear it on the TV. So it's not like they can't hear their fans. They're not being cheered on. There's just something about that stadium. It's not, you know, it's not White Hart Lane. And maybe, like, it's just other big clubs especially are used to playing there, because big finals are played there. And if you're on a big club, those clubs have played there, and it's, you know, it's nothing, you know, different for them. It's not really a home game for Tottenham. And I just think it's going to be a long season for them. Luckily for me, I hope that rings true, that it is a long season for them there. But if today's anything to say, I mean, you can't go on like that, like playing really hard, winning the majority of the, you win basically everything but the score. And that's what matters at the end.
That was a Chelsea win from last year, man. When they went on that 13-game winning streak, I feel like they had five matches like that that they had no business winning. I shouldn't say they had no business winning this game, because I thought they were actually more dangerous than Tottenham. I didn't think Tottenham had very many chances, and Chelsea felt like they had more chances, even though they didn't have any other category one.
Well, it's because they made the most of the chances today. Maybe they weren't today specifically because Conte brought back the suit. Last week he was in a tracksuit. Now he's wearing his Italian suit again. He's jumping up and down like he just won the World Cup.
I hate that. I really hate
when they scored that. When they scored that second, when Marcus Alonso scored that second goal, which was crazy. It was a good goal.
It was a good goal, but Lloris should have had it, man. I really think that.
Oh well,
he'll look at it tomorrow. He didn't.
And we
he absolutely didn't.
Antonio Conte, he almost jumped out of his suit.
He jumped into the arms of his assistant coach and wrapped his legs around him.
He scored the goal. It was so crazy.
I have to say, I cannot stand that.
I cannot stand Conte, but that was probably... I literally was laughing out loud when I was watching it.
I was too. I was like, what is this guy doing?
Hey, see, this guy brings back the suit, and they're back to their winning ways.
No.
Yeah, they win the game. That's what matters. I'm not in the same boat with you. I don't think Tottenham is going to have as tough of a season as you think. I think they'll get used to playing at Wembley. It's only one season that they play here, and they have a terrific home record in general. I think that has more to do with the fans than it does the actual stadium.
It takes one season to get relegated. And my fingers are crossed.
They're not going to get relegated. And I think Tottenham will straighten it out. They played Chelsea, and that's the way Chelsea plays, man. They score on free kicks. They had 22 goals on set pieces last year. They weren't all free kicks, but they get a lot of free kick goals. That was a brilliantly taken goal. Their second goal, I do believe, should have been saved by Lloris, but it wasn't. And Tottenham didn't technically score any goals. So can't say they should have won this match. I think Tottenham Tottenham, though, will be just fine. And as Son comes back, you still have Dele Alli and Harry Kane. Once Harry Kane hits his form, like I said, he hates August. Once he hits his form, Tottenham will be fine. And you'll have them, let's see, next week they play Burnley again at Wembley, and I think they'll straighten themselves out.
Well, before we move on from this match, I do want to go back to Conte real quick, because you guys were hating on my guy there.
Always will.
I don't know if you guys read the stories that led up to this week, but he came out and said that he wants to be a permanent, or at least for the foreseeable future, a fixture at Chelsea. He wants to stay with them through the refurbishment of Stamford Bridge or whatever goes on with that, and he wants to stay there. So I think that, at least in my mind, helped bring the team together, that he put to bed all the rumors of him wanting to leave the club.
Well, so I wouldn't call it a rumor. I mean, he came out and said, I'm looking at my options.
But then, sounds fake, Tyler.
But then also, the guy, he's a tactical genius. I mean, come on. He went into this week without Hazard, without Fabregas, without Kale, and he blew away the number two team from last season.
Did not blow anybody away.
The back line was impenetrable. I mean, first of all, Courtois looked amazing. Yeah. He stopped everything that came at him. With the exception of his own player.
I understand what you're saying.
But real quick, the back three, because it was kind of an unusual formation that he put out there with the 3-5-2. The back three were there the entire time helping them out, and that box was just immaculate. They had Tottenham said so many shots in there. And so many crosses, and they just deflected everything and cleared everything. Good, solid clearances. Yeah. It was great to watch defensively, and the attacking play wasn't just counter-attacking play like typical Chelsea. It was actually exciting attacking play to watch from them, and I was thrilled by this match. It totally filled up my balloon for the rest of the season, and I'm ready to see the world champions take it again this year.
This is going to be quite the roller coaster for Tyler.
Last week, I want to go back in time and hear about your balloon last week.
I wish that we could have been hearing this
when you got beat by Burnley. What a difference a week makes. But Chelsea, I agree.
Chelsea's Achilles heel is the low end.
Burnley?
No, the smaller team. I mean, if you look at their loss record from the last couple of seasons, they're always losing to trash teams and stepping it up against the big guys.
Unfortunately, yeah. Tyler, there's 14, 15, can quote unquote trash teams. There's only 4, 5, 6 big clubs. I mean, granted, they're winning the league.
I'm not going to say
not really much trash going on in England. I mean, they're all hard. But, you know, I don't know. Chelsea, it is what it is. I mean, Chelsea's going to eke out victories all the time. They have the players to do so.
Last thing I'll say is I was happy to see Morata start. First start with Chelsea.
Were you as happy to see him miss that wide open header?
I thought he played poorly.
That was nicely set up, though. The setup for that play, leading up to it, we didn't pay Tyler
the guy to set it up £70 million to come in and score goals. That guy's been on the payroll. Morata's new to the payroll, and he's got to open up the account in Wembley immediately. He doesn't play in Wembley every season like the other guys in Chelsea do, because they're in FA Cup matches and other cup ties, and a lot of them play, you know, in England for the English team and whatever. And what have you, Morata has to score those open goals that he's missing. Yeah. He has to.
I thought he looked really soft.
He didn't even do anything today, honestly. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take anything weak from the Chelsea today, and you can't really take much, it's Morata. Yeah. He was bad.
Yeah, I thought Willian made up for it. Willian playing in the Eden Hazard role, because Tyler didn't even mention that Hazard hasn't been playing. He's been hurt.
He said that,
and he's a game changer for sure. And Willian fills that role so nicely. I think Willian's such a good player. He played a really nice game today, dribbling, beating players in the back line. It seemed like every time Chelsea was attacking, it was a counterattack where it was even numbers, which is not what you want if you're defensive. So I think, you know, that's how Chelsea sneaks away with these wins, but I can't take anything away from, I think the best way to describe this game is exactly what you just said, Ken, which is, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's my whole weekend. Arsenal 1-0 away to Stoke is what it is. We have to persevere. We have to be better in front of goal. We have to take advantage of the possession that we have and, you know, be more direct in the final third.
Yeah.
We don't put ourselves in that position, but you think I'm not going to be upset about
3 terrible calls. It's okay to have one. I mean, it's an off shot to have one referee make one bad call in the prem. 3 in 90 minutes? Come on, take your test again. Seriously.
Well, we'll see what happens with that referee, Ken. I'm surprised you didn't name him on air, try to get him in trouble. But, yeah, I mean, Chelsea takes their win, and it looked like a little worse than last year. I feel bad for Tottenham, and I don't think Tottenham is going to struggle from here on out. I think, like I said, once Harry Kane and Dele Alli start rolling, Tottenham will do their damage. It's just whether or not... It's whether or not they can hang in there this year with if any of those guys get hurt.
No. How can you feel bad for a club that has a board, a manager, and players openly stating, yeah, we don't need players?
They just signed a player.
Okay.
They signed a center back from Ajax. I think his name's Sanchez. I actually don't really know much about him, but they did pay a ton for him. They paid £40 million for him.
What's his first name? Is it?
They did buy a player.
I saw that. I know who you're talking about. I don't know of the player. I don't know his resume. But yeah, now they got one player of depth now. So good for you. Good on you. Now you'll win the league. Just kidding.
You know, so much hate. Just so much hate, Ken. I can't wait for the Arsenal-Tottenham game. We're definitely going to get a Tottenham fan on here. I think I decided when we have Arsenal versus Tottenham. Hopefully somebody who kind of can push your buttons a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for. But we'll see what happens. They don't play anytime soon.
We have to play Tottenham away and the referees. I mean, I'm just saying. It's difficult.
Oh, my God, Ken. All right. Well, next week, at the end of this week, we have Monday's match, which will be City versus Everton. That's at the Etihad in Manchester. A pretty big match. I don't think this game is going to be affected by the eclipse, Ken. They're still going to play it. And I'm guessing this will be a nice test for Pep's new City, Everton, and a nice test for Koeman and Everton and Wayne Rooney.
What do you think about... This is outside of the players that are there. What do you make of Diego Costa potentially being loaned to Everton?
I didn't hear that one.
It's all over the place. I mean, I don't know how much truth it is.
You're clickbait central because you were trying to get me to talk about Leo Messi to City again, and
the internet's talking about it. I'm not talking about it. I don't start these things. I don't have enough clout to do that.
It was my example for clickbait when we were talking about transfers. I'm not talking about Leo Messi moving to City, especially when they're talking about him signing a new contract.
Signs it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What I'm asking is, this is a more realistic thing because Costa has nothing to do right now.
No, he's in Brazil.
Right.
And now Chelsea's talking about suing him because he's missing trainings. And
They don't sue him. They just fine him.
Yeah, they're fining him. But they actually use the word suing him for his conduct. I don't know how it goes from here. I remember Tevez doing something similar, but not trying to force his way away from City, but just like basically didn't. Remember that when he went home for 2 months?
Yeah.
He just left.
No, yeah. I mean, he pulled the ultimate sit down. I was like, I'm not even in the country. Definitely not. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be late to practice today.
Well, Costa, still not in the country. Chelsea still doesn't have anything to do with him, and Atletico still hasn't paid for him. So this is a situation that has dragged on all summer. It's kind of getting obnoxious at this point, but I think the most important takeaway from this is that, honestly, Morata is not Diego Costa. Diego Costa is an outlet, and when Chelsea was getting... just having a barrage of crosses whipped in, they couldn't play the ball out to Costa where he could hold the ball up or draw a foul. Morata just looked soft today, and he's going to have to toughen up a little bit if he wants to fill that role of the partying Diego Costa right now. But that's it for match week 2. City versus Everton will be the last match. We'll just quickly touch on next week's games. Manchester United versus Leicester City on Saturday. That's the 12:30 p.m. game. That'll be at Old Trafford, so an interesting match there. We started with that one, but actually the 7:30 game is City playing Bournemouth. Anything you want to talk about with those two matches?
No, we'll just have to let it play out.
Yeah, I see Manchester City playing at Bournemouth. Bournemouth had a tough loss this week, so we'll see. I mean, the Everton game to me is more interesting than that one. Watford versus Brighton. I expect Watford. I mean, Watford is playing pretty well right now, and I would expect them to beat Brighton at home. Huddersfield Town versus Southampton at Huddersfield Town. Anything you want to talk about in those two games?
No, I'd like to just, let's just see what happens. We'll reconvene afterwards.
Yeah,
we'll discuss the weekend's magic.
The rest of the matches for the week, Crystal Palace versus Swansea. Palace absolutely has to get a win. That's two straight losses for their new manager. And like we touched on last week, third loss means you start getting, pressure. It's so early in the season, but that's how easily it can happen. If the board thinks that you're going to get them relegated, you will be gone. They don't want to have to deal with that.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Crystal Palace.
Oh, yeah.
Crystal Palace has two losses.
Yeah, Billich is going to be in the same boat.
Yep, Billich plays Newcastle, two teams that are in desperate need of a win. Newcastle at Newcastle and West Ham playing there. Basically, both these clubs really need a win, so that's one worth watching. Yep. Besides that, we have Chelsea versus Everton. That's a good match there, Ken, at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, man, I hope that Diego Costa's in an Everton jersey by then.
That's not going to happen. These are all coming up on the transfer deadline. West Brom versus Stoke at West Brom and Tottenham Hotspur versus Burnley at Wembley. Round off the games this side of the Liverpool versus Arsenal match, which we've already touched on.
Go.
Big match at Anfield. Ken Lee looking to take it down. We'll see. Maybe we can get a Liverpool fan on here, Ken, next week.
Yeah, maybe it won't matter. Hopefully it's 4-5-0 to the good, and nobody will want to get on here. We need to have a big game. Yeah. We need to have a big game.
Nobody will want to get on here and talk to you. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, but that's definitely the asterisk game of the week. Liverpool versus Arsenal at Anfield. So we're looking at all these matches. No Monday match, but the transfer deadline will be a few days after that. It officially ends at, 11:59 on August 31st?
31st.
Yep, and make sure you can try to get your extensions in like Wenger does, but you got to be real clever with that.
He doesn't even back on how you actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know yet. You haven't gotten in touch with him. But a lot of big names are still being talked about. Mbappe, Sanchez, etc. So a lot of interesting storylines to go, Ken. But a terrific match week two.
Yeah, no, it was good. Another good week. And we hope for the same in week three. So.
Yeah, except maybe this time Tyler can be held accountable for a Chelsea loss. We're hoping for that. Obviously, everybody has a podcast hoping for that. So Tyler can have his balloon popped or whatever it was he said. But overall, good week. Yep, good week. And Ken, anything else you want to add?
I got nothing.
Tyler?
Nope. 13 games straight. 1st of 13 right here.
Jesus. Here we
this
go.
This is what happened. If you guys want to get in touch with us, we have our Facebook page and we have our Twitter account. If you want to bomb Tyler, you absolutely can. We don't mind. But overall, I hope everybody has an awesome week, and we will see you guys when we are talking about the magic, as Ken said, of match week 3. Everybody, enjoy yourselves.